what crime they committed. We should never judge this. Yes, it is an unusual number, but we should know that it's not final, and this thing can go to appeal, and it has to be approved.
Okay. Thank you. Stay with us, please. We're going to cross over to see what our Facebook viewers had to say on this subject.
General Sisi is a puppet of America. Long live the Muslim Brotherhood. Inshallah, we will win against the Satan. Actually, Morsi's responsible for the situation in Egypt. Now it's become too difficult for the Muslim Brotherhood to regain their position in Egypt, as they've lost the chances. What I'm wondering about is the tactics of the hidden authorities that hijacked the revolution, which swept out the former dictator Hosni Mubarak. And honestly, Egypt is sold out and the game is over. The future of the Egyptians is at risk because they're ruled by others, not by their own authorities. And the innocent Egyptian people will face difficulties internally and externally. The question is, who sold it out? Is Egypt being run, ruled and regulated by Israel and the USA?
Well, let's cross back over to Cairo. Mr. Salem, your take on what some of our viewers commented on. Who do you think is really ruling Egypt?
Well, Egypt has lost its independence with the coup that took place on July 3rd. And it has totally lost its independence because it became ruled by the superpower, the United States, and the Israel. And the U.S. is working for securing the Israeli interests and the Israeli security using the Egyptian army itself. And this is a very critical issue. When the gentleman there said that the Egyptian people did not want either of the two candidates, the fact is people wanted Morsi better than any other in the first round, and he came higher than any other candidate. There were other 12, and he came once again higher than the military and state-backed general Shafiq. So when you speak about people wanting, people voice and people say whom they want through the elections. On another level, there's another illogical thing when you say that the verdict is not final. It means it's only a tool to threaten those people, to pressure those people. We will kill you if you don't submit and if you don't accept the coup. The issue is that the upcoming elections is only trying to give legitimacy to the one who is the person who did the coup. Trying to legitimize a coup is a very nasty game, and you should know that the United States is playing on legitimizing this regime because it serves its interests and that of Israel. The public who voiced themselves on the Facebook and elsewhere, and even with a very nasty hashtag against this person, Sisi, they are the ones who can vote and they are the ones who can say. They will never allow real free elections because it will not play for the interests of Israel or the United States.
We'll turn to London. Do you think that guarantees can be in place that the election can be free and fair? And looking at the candidates who are running, because you said in the previous election that the Egyptian people wanted none of the candidates who were running, what about this time around? Do you think the Egyptians really want the candidates who are running?
Yes, of course, the Egyptian people now, it's very clear. You've just been talking about Facebook, and thank you for bringing some very moderate comments from the Facebook, because the Facebook now is full of filth, people putting unbelievable bad manner on Facebook about the situation in Egypt. But of course, when you look at the next election and the number of organizations going to watch the election, we know that it's going to be a free election. Okay, there is only two people standing for the election, but that's not bad. At least there is two people the Egyptian people going to choose from, and it is very clear who is going to win the election. So if we care about the Egyptian people, if we care about the country, why don't we try and work together to build the country, to work together and to do something for those poor people in Egypt, rather than pushing them every day to go out in the street and fight the police and fight the army? Every day you have people dying, and you tell me, who kills them? Who killed these people? Of course, it is very clear who killed the people. So that shows you how desperate those people are to gain power. the situation, if you say you threat people by passing sentences against them, you don't use that tactics. People commit crime, people go to court, people being trialed, and people have got judgment. So when you say you threaten the people, you don't do that in court. But when you look at, as I said, look at the leaders of the Brotherhood in court, for God's sake, they are the leaders who set an example to the people. And look the way they behave in court. Hooligans. And then what you expect the people to learn from them? What you expecting people to follow their steps? Exactly what that we done in Rabaa. In Rabaa, they failed to protect the demonstrator. They failed to guide them to safety. They pushed them to stand and fight the army and fight the police. And they are safe. But the people died. The people got killed. Okay. So where are the responsible leaders?
Well, let's turn to Cairo and get Mr. Salem in on this. Your take, our guest has said, who's killing these protesters now? Who is responsible, you think, at this point in time for, as he is saying, every day we see more and more Egyptians being killed?
Well, people are not being killed in a civil war between a civil group and another civil group. People are being killed by the bullets of the police and army. And there is a whole army campaign in Sinai killing people. There was a big campaign of army and police in Rabaa killing the people. And this means that they will continue killing in order to stay in power. They will continue killing in order to secure their interests in power and the interests of the one that they are serving their interests. And because of this, if the gentleman just says it's known who is going to win, it means you are just blocking the way for anything else. It means that you have decided that this person will have a kind of a theatrical show of something called elections, and then the man who did the coup becomes the president after what he calls elections. When someone does a coup and comes to power, this is totally against the will of the people. And on that, you cannot say that the Egyptian people are poor and we should help them. They were being helped, as you said, by the Muslim Brotherhood and the other Islamists. Now you have cut that because you said that giving people this kind of charity is giving the Brotherhood legitimacy in the streets, and you want to cut this legitimacy. You don't even allow people to express their own views and sentiments if they raise this four fingers of Rabaa. Though this means the whole thing is a very mockery of democracy. It's just cunning things. And more than that, the gentleman is saying that the people failed to protect. If the Brotherhood used arms and ammunition to protect the people of Rabaa, it would have been a civil war. But they were peaceful protesters, and they continue to be peaceful protesters. For the attitude in the court, every court like this shows the freedom fighter speaking to the people, and he and everybody with him, like Mandela, speaking to the conscience of the world. See who is being put to trial by that coup regime.
Okay,
Mandela,
stay with
no
me because I'm running
Morsi
out of time. Let me turn
and this
to
is
London.
The case.
Give Mr. Rahab a minute to respond.
And he's talking like they are very innocent. They don't kill any members of the police. They don't kill anyone from the army. He is talking that like he lives in his own world. He just want to make a campaign that the poor people getting killed. People getting killed from both sides. And who motivating this? And who pushing people in the street to do that? So let's not say the people got killed. The people in Rabaa were armed. And it's very clear from the clips that we've seen. So you don't say you people getting killed, people from both sides getting killed. So
okay,
you are
and now Cairo, I'm
there.
Sorry, I'm out
You're
of time. 1 minute, Cairo,
war.
What will it take to bring security back to your country? What do you see in the near future?
Well, for my sake, I think democracy and freedom to the people, freedom of expression, allowing people to express and allowing people to choose is the thing that brings security. Security is a psychological thing that happens when people feel that they have every right and they can exercise the right. But if you say, don't oppose, don't object, you will go to court, we will sentence you for death, and then we will negotiate on your life. This will never give people security. And with the loss of security, you will lose the economy, you will lose development, you will lose everything. That's why all military regimes fail. That of Ataturk failed, and that of Mubarak failed,
you
and that of
You need to learn how to demonstrate.
Others failed.
And on that note, so sorry, both you of our need guests, to but we you are need out of time. I'd like to thank our guests, both in Cairo, from anti-coup activist Mr. Hazem Salem, and also in London, founder Egyptian UK Association, Mr. Mostafa Raghab. And thank you, viewers, for being with us on another debate right here out of our international studios in Tehran. I'm Marzi Hashimi, signing out for myself and the crew. Thank you, and goodbye.